Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's a quarter of the way to 10,000 podcasts. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And this is a very special edition of the podcast. This is Rob Has a Podcast episode number 2500, if you can believe it. And we are almost 9 years in the making. We technically began Rob Has a Podcast in its current form in February of 2010. And here we are now in December of 2018. And we have a special show here today. And to bring it all together, I am actually sitting in the guest chair here in the studio. I am not in my normal seat. For the first time ever, I am doing a podcast sitting in the wrong chair, as the person sitting in the host chair today is my boo, my baby mama.
I don't like when you call me boo.
My podcast co-host and the woman who is here with me when we started it all, the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Cesternino. Nicole, how are you?
I am good.
You're good?
Good.
Okay. Well, here was my thought. Okay. And I'm going to turn this over to you, and then you can interview me. Nicole has questions from the listeners. I have no idea what we're even going to talk about here today, but my thought on all of this was that we did a special at 500 podcasts, and you and I answered questions. We did a special at 1,000 podcasts, and I played clips, and then you were there, and you were getting like really bored when I was playing the clips.
I don't remember.
And that was Rob's Podcast 1,000. I'll link to all these shows in the show notes on robswebsite.com. And then I stopped down again. I think it was only last June for RHAP 2000, and that was a big clip show. And we've got a best of 2018 show coming. So I didn't want to stop down and do clips. We just had people surprising me for my birthday, both in the wand off and then also with everything that Nicole put together for my beautiful birthday surprise celebration. So
if you're going to drop this, it was your 40th birthday Amazing Race.
Okay, 40th birthday. Thank you for, because I'm sure people were like, hey, it's technically 40th birthday no. Amazing Race. So I figured, well, let's do something that we've never done before. And why don't we allow Nicole to interview me on a podcast? Nicole, was this a bucket list item for you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, although I got to say that I would usually be like super nervous for this, but I think I've done like 500 podcasts with you.
Well, I mean, if we count the Patreon 5 for 5, and Patreon 5 for 5 that we do that every single week, we're actually up to 110 Patreon 5 for 5. So it's probably close to 500.
Yeah. So I'm only like, normally be super nervous. Now I'm just like really nervous.
Okay. Well, that's don't be nervous. And Nicole is going to host the show and ask me whatever questions we're going to get into. I mean, I haven't seen the question. Are we talking about the podcast? Are we talking about Survivor? What are we talking about today?
It's a variety.
Yes.
It's a variety.
Are we talking about our relationship?
There are a lot of questions, and there's just they hit on everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just like,
and they don't hold back.
Yes. Okay. All right, Nicole. So we're gonna get to that. Let me just quickly get us through talking to one of our sponsors, real quick. And I know this is one that you like.
One of my favorites.
I have all of Nicole's favorite sponsors here today in the podcast that Nicole is hosting. Brooke Linen, Nicole. You know, you spend a third of your life in sheets. Do you know that? If you're lucky,
more than that.
This holiday season, it's a great time for a bedding upgrade for you or a loved one . Nicole, we finally have gotten the Brooke Linen sheets over here.
Yes.
What is your review of the Brooke Linen sheets?
I'm kind of a sheet snob, and I have been on a quest to actually find good sheets. And
yes,
I've returned several sets because they just don't live up to my standards.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to spend a lot of money because I'm cheap.
Yes.
And Brooklinen has like high quality sheets that you would find at a hotel, and they're very reasonably priced.
Brooklinen sheets name the winner of the best online bedding category. Nicole wouldn't let them on the bed if they were not up to her standard. Nicole takes sleeping very seriously.
Very seriously.
And Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen, meaning that they can give you a 5-star hotel quality sheet that are affordable and easier to order. Sheets don't just feel amazing, but they look great too. Mix and match over 20 plus colors and patterns, and they have super fast shipping that makes sure you can get your holiday gifts right on time. The Brooklinen sheets that we have are the best, the most comfortable sheets that we've ever slept on. Would you sign that?
Yeah, I definitely would.
Now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen is giving you an exclusive offer just for the listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code ROB at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that you'll love their product, their sheets, their comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use promo code ROB at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code ROB, Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. No sleep till Brooklinen.
Oh my God. All right, ignore him. It is a good deal. So okay, right, okay. Don't sleep on it.
Okay.
But sleep on it.
There you go. Okay. All right, Nicole, where do you want to start? You want to open it up with what's your interview style?
I don't know. I've never done this.
Okay. All right. So what are you going to do?
I'm just going to imitate you.
Well, that's a good start.
So we jump right in? Like, how do I do this?
Well,
let me ask you, how are you feeling sitting over there?
It's weird.
It's not a very comfortable. This over here is more comfortable.
Why? What's the difference?
I don't know.
I mean, it's the same exact chair. I get that complaint on YouTube sometimes. Like, oh, Rob could give the guest a more comfortable chair. Well, I don't want the guest to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that the chair, that same exact chair is uncomfortable, but
it is the same exact chair, but it feels different over here.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the angle or what. I don't
it's
know
like
if
you're,
the feng
I'm like,
shui.
I'm like the king over here.
You like it. You like having the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that
it's like
also,
a power trip.
It's also hard to find the chairs at the same height, but mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Yeah. How do you feel about seeing me in your chair? Does this make you threatened?
Not threatened, no.
You should be.
Why? You're going to take over? Are you going to kill me?
Not that.
We have it on tape.
Mm-hmm. Not that kind of threatened.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I'm not threatened. You seem very comfortable. You seem very at ease.
Well, I'm only at ease podcasting when you're next to me.
Okay. Well, how much other podcasting are you doing?
I've done a few without you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Check the archives.
Okay. I will.
Okay. So should we jump right in?
Please do.
Okay. So our first question, and I also have to apologize. I'm not a very good reader.
Reading is an important skill.
I'm not good
podcasting.
At reading out loud.
Yes. Oh, you're good in reading.
Comprehension.
Reading comprehension and reading in your head.
But
reading out loud in front of the class is.
No, I would always get like really, really nervous about it.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing my glasses.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So Brent the Shower Man, let's start off with him. He wants to know, is there anything else that you have done 2,500 times?
Oh, I would think that there's probably a lot of things that I've done 2,500 times. I don't know if there's anything of note that I've done 2,500 times.
Anything interesting?
Yeah, I mean, 2,500 times is, I don't know, if you're going to go by like anything you do once a day.
I bet you have had boring chicken 2,500 times.
I mean, I don't know if you've made it for me 2,500 times. Definitely not. I mean, I only started eating it what you consider to be boring chicken, which is, you know, I like for dinner for when, you know, I'm very busy. Nicole does prepare my dinner. I don't get to sit down and eat with the family most nights. And Nicole does prepare my very elaborate dinner most nights, which is just a chicken breast that is just in a pan in mm-hmm. the oven. And but I definitely haven't had it 2,500 times. I mean, that would be like if you made it every day for what, 7 years?
So in addition to reading, math is also not my strong suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely not.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
So, but I'm sure there are things, nothing interesting or that, you know, I would want to discuss on a podcast.
Okay. Maybe privately. And then there's also a voicemail from Brent the Showerman.
Hey, Rob and Nicole, this is Brent the Showerman. Congratulations on 2,500 episodes of RHAP. I just wanted to say thanks for building such an incredible community. I personally have grown so much from being a part of the patron world and just become more comfortable putting myself out there through participating with the group, leaving voicemails, and interacting with the podcast in general. I'm wondering how this journey of 2,500 episodes has helped you both to overcome any fears or difficulties you have in real life. Thanks so much. Love you, Bays. And here's to 2,500 more.
Any things that I've over... I mean, I feel like I am less nervous talking in public, if that's a thing.
Yes. I've noticed that about you, that sometimes that when you start talking to people, you do get a little nervous. But if you put a microphone in front of this guy, like all of that nervousness, like just totally disappears.
I find it much more comfortable to talk to a person on an interview as opposed to in real life.
Mm-hmm. But when you talk to people, like yes. when you have conversations with yes. people, you just pretend it's an interview.
That's something that is fun to do. I didn't think that there was like a Jerry Seinfeld bit where he talks about how like small talk is like pretending you have like a little talk show in front of you. And it's like, all right, so tell me, what are you working on? And I think that, you know, that is, you know, a fun thing to be able to do. I feel like when I'm in like a taxi, sometimes I like try to pretend like, okay, well, can I, you know, make this conversation, you know, interesting? Can I, you know, if I had to just get thrown into a conversation with somebody, try to do that as opposed to just being on my phone. So, you know, I'm not really nervous about talking to people. And I've thought about, you know, when I first got off of Survivor, I was, my goal was to, I wanted to do stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, work on my material. I would go to all these horrible, like, open mics, but I would get, like, really nervous. I would be, you know, really afraid to, or I, you know, I'd be very nervous and I couldn't remember what it was, because I think a lot of stand up, or at least my material at that time, was every word had to be sort of like exactly right, because it was, you know, it was very wordy in terms of what I was saying. And I was very nervous at the time. And now I feel like that I would be comfortable to go and try that again, but I feel like I don't have any material written, and I wouldn't want to go to horrible open mics. I mean, I much prefer staying in my house and then just talking about different stuff every day, as opposed to leaving the house and then going out night after night to say the same stuff and practicing it over and over.
You just do like a live stream open mic at your house.
I don't think that's really how it works, but I feel like that would be something that, you know, if there was the, you know, the right opportunities, like I just think that would be a cool thing to have in my back pocket, of just like another thing I could do potentially.
I totally think you can do that.
Yeah, but I'd have to, you know, it's not necessarily right. Like, you know, I, and just because I'm not nervous talking to a crowd, it doesn't mean that I have, you know, any material. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that if, you know, the Rob's podcast audience is very forgiving, but if I was like talking to 200 people who don't know me from anybody, you know, there's a little bit of goodwill built up from 2,500 podcasts, but I feel like to a bunch of strangers, it's like, okay, you have, you know, 15 seconds to be funny or you're getting booed off the stage.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on. Felipe, he wants to know, what's the creepiest DM you've ever gotten and what's the funniest?
I mean, I really don't get creepy DMs.
No one slides into your DMs.
Like people, I hear about these direct messages from people and it's like, oh, I'm being harassed, that I don't have any women that are reaching out to me, and mm-hmm. I'm being like completely serious about this. It's not like I'm not lying to try to trick you.
No, you would tell me
anything.
If it was creepy.
I've never had any woman reach out to me and say like, hey baby, like I don't know what I don't even know what people say.
I don't think women
never,
do that.
I've never sent a message like that, and I've never gotten a message like that.
You would be very happy if you did.
I would, and I've never gotten it from a man. Uh-huh. So.
But either way, you'd be happy.
I would be flattered. I would be flattered if anybody ever sent me a, and I would, that, and I hear,
you know,
from,
they're
like,
coming now.
Well, you know, look, I'm not going to act on anything. And it would be a lot of pressure. I feel like, okay, well, now I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right response is. I mean, I would probably just ignore it.
Yes, that's usually.
I would probably just ignore it and act like it didn't happen. But I have not gotten that. And again, if it was a man or a woman, I would be like, eh. Okay.
I feel love.
Yeah. I would feel like, you know, that
someone likes me.
Hey, I still got it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would feel, I think that one time there was, I did get one time, but I'm pretty sure it was somebody trying to catfish me. I think that one time I was getting like very overly friendly, messages from some, and this is like, I don't know, like probably 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I was being catfished. So wasn't even like a real person.
What were they saying?
I don't appreciate that. I think it was like, and it was like very tame in terms of like a winky face or like a cutie.
So
or
why do you think
like
you were
that.
Being catfished?
Because it was the picture was not like I think I have a good eye for, you know, catfish pictures and a real person. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it was a real person.
Yeah.
So what was the original question again? Did anybody slide in my DMs?
No, it was just what was the creepiest and what was the funniest?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't get too many funny DMs.
Okay. Felipe also wants to know, what are some podcasts that stand out to you as like all-timers?
You know, it's really hard to, I was going to like try to rank those, but I mean, there's guests that stand out. It's hard to say that a specific podcast stands out, and you know, they all start to blend together after a while.
Have you ever had a guest like David Letterman had said that when he was interviewing Paris Hilton, like he basically wanted to poke his eyeballs out, like it was just like the worst interview. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had somebody like that where they just give you nothing?
For me. Like it's a little bit different than how like a talk show would work because I book the guests. So,
but you also get the exit interviews.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been some, but I just like sort of wrap it up quick if they're not really giving me anything. So I can't really say that there's been like any guests that are just like terrible. But maybe if anything, like on The Amazing Race, where it's like I'm talking to people that you know, they weren't really that interesting. If they have like a really bad connection. You know, I'll just be like, all right, that's it. Well, we're done here. We don't need to really get into it. So it's more the I find people's connection is the problem more so than the person is, you know, has nothing to say.
So you've never been like, whoa, that was a dud.
I mean, I definitely felt that way, but it's not often that I feel that way. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, if an interview is not really going in the direction that I feel like it's working, I feel like then, you know, I try to switch things up where it's like, okay, sometimes I'm talking to somebody and it's clear they have no idea what they're talking about with the current season of Survivor. So let me see if they can, you know, if they got a little bit more talking about their season or maybe talking about something like totally different. So, you know, I'll try to get somewhere where they've got something.
Mm-hmm. Most people like to talk about themselves.
People do like, yeah. Especially the reality star. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have been very hashtag blessed to have been, you know, in the right place at the right time with this podcast because I came into this in 2010. And I really felt like that, oh man, you know, I'll talk about Survivor here. I really got in on Survivor here at the tail end where I was like, okay, well, what is there going to be like 2 seasons left of Survivor, you know, four max. And that's it. I'm sort of like, you know, got in here right at the end. Too bad I didn't start this earlier. Too bad I didn't start like in Gabon. I would have maybe really had something here. And, you know, here we are. 9 years into the podcast come February. It is going to be now, we're closing in on, we are, I think that 2 seasons away from there being more seasons of Survivor with Rob as a podcast than seasons without Rob as a podcast. Mm-hmm. So I started in season 20. So season 39 will be the first season that there are more seasons of Survivor. And let's hope we all get there. But that will be the first season, 1 year from now, we'll be on pace to have more seasons of Survivor with Rob as a podcast than without.
And I imagine Rob has a podcast has had some influence with the longevity of Survivor.
I don't know. I think
I think you keep it like fresh and fun. Like, and you give people a place to come and talk about it.
I don't like it when people sort of like overstate their own accomplishments. I don't want to be delusional.
You're not delusional.
But I think I would say if I had to talk about what has Rob's podcast meant to Survivor, I do think that we have sort of like crystallized around a place where the most, vocal and excited fans of the show, which is a very small number proportionally of the overall audience, but where, the, 0.01% of the audience that is the most excited about the show has mostly been able to, congregate around, specific conversations around the show. And so in some instances that can be bad because it's sort of like there can be some groupthink that goes into that. But I think that overall, I think that we've had a lot of conversations that have been, positive around the show and have resulted in, some interesting points being taken into the show. And so mm-hmm. I do think that maybe I don't think that we've done anything in terms of specifically like the viewership. It's I don't think that that's necessarily the case where we,
there's the enthusiasm.
And then also I think that there's like a give take relationship where we have been able to keep some of the most excited people about the show interested and engaged with the show. And from that, I think a lot of really good ideas have come from those conversations, which some of them, direct the conversation, which ultimately gets back to the show. And I think that there is a little bit of a symbiotic relationship between then the show in turn, I think, continues to improve on itself based on the things that the most excited fans of the show are, sending signals that, okay, we like this. This is good. What if we did this? And I think that that's had an impact on keeping the show strong to some degree.
Yeah.
And so people keep watching because it's doing well. But I don't think it's necessarily like, hey, it would be off the air and people wouldn't be watching it. And that because there are there are tens of thousands of people that listen to this podcast, but there are millions of people that listen that watch the show.
Yes.
And so, and there are, probably tens of thousands of people who might like this podcast if they even knew it existed.
Yes.
But it's just like the actual ratings point, I think, of the people that are listening to this podcast. But the question is then, to what degree do the people that are listening to the podcast, do they have influence in their circles and stuff like that? That I don't know.
I feel like Christian can develop a very simple equation to answer this question of how you did influence.
Maybe I don't want to have people, and maybe people already are listening like, oh my God, this guy is delusional.
No.
This guy is on crack.
No, he stopped that a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't like that when I hear other people talk like that,
are a lot of people who talk like that, but I don't, knowing and, you, you don't, yeah, that's
and,
not you.
And this is what I originally started on, but I've been very lucky that I have found this thing in Survivor. I'm not even talking about as a contestant, but as a podcaster, it's such a great medium because I get to talk to people who there's no shortage of people who want to come on and talk about themselves, talk mm-hmm. about their experience, and talk. A lot of them, will occasionally talk trash, and so it's like always interesting, and there's always new people, and then there's always new things to talk about. There's two seasons a year. I mean, there's all these different people that start podcasts about like a TV show, and I'm very fortunate in that I have 26 weeks a year of Survivor, not to mention, you know, 14, 15 weeks of just straight up regular Big Brother, not to mention, you know, Celebrity Big Brother and stuff like that. So there's like no shortage of content where if I was going to be podcasting about a TV show that one, you know, it hasn't gone off the air. And two, like, it's not one of these things where if I was, you know, pick the show, most shows are, you know, 13 episodes once a year, if you're lucky. And right. Some of these shows go, you know, are off for, you know, 2 years or whatever, mm-hmm. or have gone downhill or have gotten canceled.
They're on hiatus.
And so, you know, I've just been very lucky to, you know, have found this thing and get in this at the, you know, exact right time where I was able to, you know, start this up. And it's been just, such an amazing series of coincidence and a blessing. And I don't even know what the right word is.
And also on a personal level, you've also developed friendships with people that you know you wouldn't have met before.
Sure. Certainly.
Yes. So also, if Survivor ends tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
what is it? Where does that leave Rob Has a Podcast?
I mean, well, I don't know. Hope everybody likes News AF and Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast.
Uh-huh.
These are things that, you know, keep me awake at night. I have no idea. Like,
you had talked about doing a sports podcast.
I like sports, but I am not smart enough in, you know, I'm lucky that I found this and mm-hmm. I'm lucky that people want to, you know, are willing to listen to me talk about this. I don't know how many other subjects that I am intelligent enough to, not to say that I'm,
don't sell yourself short,
but I don't know that I am just at this point in my life. I am, you know, a mile deep and an inch wide in terms of my knowledge base. You know, I know, everything that's going on in the world of Survivor, some of what's going on in the world of Big Brother, and that's about it. You know,
that is not even true.
I don't know what, and maybe I could get, you know, educated enough on some other topic to talk about. But there are so many more. You know, there's so many podcasts that are out there. You know, this is like the one area in which I have, you know, a vast knowledge base, and to jump into something else that I feel like that would be very, you know, intimidating.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the question. Steve Chung, he says, if your kids want to become podcasters as a profession, would you encourage them or not?
I mean, who knows if podcasting is even going to be a job in 20 years, you know, that...
The problem is that they completely have your genetic makeup and mm-hmm. they love the microphone.
And
they really do.
You know, I like to use them on the on the commercials. I feel like that's fun. They like it also. So I feel like it's like it gives people a reason to listen to a commercial that they might otherwise be skipping.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad they like to do it. But in terms of like of it being a job of being a podcaster, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if that's the type of thing. Like, I think that you should start with an interest and then from an interest, you know, figure out what is the best way to explore that interest, as opposed to my interest is podcasting. And now I'm just looking for a thing to podcast about.
Mm hmm. They just like to talk.
They just like to talk. It's fun. Look, everybody that starts a podcast, like this is the part that's fun. It's all the other parts that are hard and not fun.
Okay, well, that kind of leads into the next question. So imagine a world where this podcast were the same but belonged to someone else. Would mm-hmm. you be a patron? And if so, what type of participation would you have?
Was I on Survivor? Was I just a fan? Because it's very hard for me to imagine my life where I was a crazy fan of Survivor and Big Brother, but then I went on the show and then sort of, you know, got to see how the sausage was made and was a part of it. And then ultimately I, you know, went away from it and mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention to it. So it's very hard for me to answer that question because I don't know what my life is like if I don't ever go on Survivor or Big Brother.
But you love podcasts and you're patrons of other mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. But the things that I'm a patron of are other things that are sort of like in the space of
the podcasting.
Creators in the space of podcasting that, you know, create content that helps me in terms of like I consume their content and I feel an obligation in terms of like, hey, I really appreciate these resources that you're creating. But that's very specific to my work. So there's not anything that I'm necessarily like I'm not really active as a fan in any other communities. Like I, you know, follow my sports teams and stuff like that. But there's no I'm not like an active participant. Like I've got, all to do in this community as opposed to like being, you know, a big person in a different community.
Mm-hmm. Really important question here from Chuck Doherty. What is your favorite cereal?
What's my favorite cereal? I mix it up. I don't eat one every single day.
This goes back to Rob's crazy food meals.
What do I do that's crazy?
I do the grocery shopping, yes. And I have to buy like three different cereals, four different cereals because it's very different for you.
Does the average person have one cereal that's their go-to and that's all they eat?
Probably.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Some person's like, hey, I'm a Frosted Flakes guy. That's all I eat, Frosted Flakes. Yeah. Over my cabinet, that's Frosted Flakes.
Or I think people go through like, all right, you know, I really like Frosted Flakes right now. I'm just going to eat Frosted Flakes until I get sick of it. And then I'm going to pick something else. And then they pick something else. But you have a rotation.
I like a few different cereals. I don't know. I don't think that's super weird.
Well, there's like four cereals that you buy.
Okay, so what? Sometimes I have a Raisin Bran.
Uh-huh.
I have some sort of a like a Cheerios.
Uh-huh. And then a fiber Cheerios.
Yes. Yeah.
Then I have then Raisin Bran.
Well, the Raisin Bran I had already said.
Okay.
That was the first one. and then there's also like another cereal that's like a fiber one type cereal, and I'll use that as like a on a salad too. I'll put that on the top like to give it some crunch.
Yes, and I find it all over the floor.
Okay. All right.
Yes. So I'll let you slide on the cereal. I won't dig into.
Sometimes I put blueberries in the cereal. Sometimes I put raisins. I'm crazy.
You are crazy. Jamie Carmichael, he has nothing to ask, but great job, Rob.
Thank you, Jamie.
And Nicole.
Yes.
Here's to another 2,500 and beyond.
Thank you.
And then Dan Heaton, he wants to know.
What do you want to know? We'll get to those questions. I want it to be interviewed by you.
I talk to you all the time. Like I think I know everything about you. Can you tell me something I don't know about you?
I mean,
tell me a secret.
Okay, a secret. Something that you don't know about me. Can you give me like a
what do you do when I'm not home and I'm not around?
That's not podcasting
and working. Like, what do you do?
Nothing.
Do you ever stay in your room and like dance around naked?
No. Why do you?
Because some people do that.
Yeah, look, the dancing is, I can promise you that there's no point at any time when I'm dancing.
Uh-huh. Do you like make faces in the mirror at yourself?
No, who does that?
People?
People make look in the mirror and make faces?
Some people. So that's how some people practice for photo shoots. And
yeah,
weddings?
I guess so. Uh-huh. That's not super interesting to me.
Uh-huh. So what do you do?
I mean, when you're now, because Nicole works nights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing really that fun or crazy going on. I mean, a lot of times I'm just like, doing work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might like watch a TV show. I mean, nothing super exciting.
Yeah.
Try to straighten up around here.
Mm-hmm. Because you're scared of me.
Because I'm scared of you.
You're scared if I come home and the house.
Oh, no, I mean like my office.
Oh, okay.
Like I might like I enjoy like putting on like a podcast or like Howard Stern. If I'm like I'm on average I'm like a week behind on shows. So I really just enjoy like listening to a audiobook or Howard Stern episodes and
What would you do to liven up your life?
Why does it? I have a fun job.
Okay, I mean, there's got to be something that you want to do that is a little extraordinary for you.
Such as
I don't know. I'm not in your head. I want to know what's in your head.
Yeah. I want to do things that are less extraordinary, that I feel like I am like on the go all the time, mm-hmm. in terms of that there's so much work to do. You know, I like to do nothing.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like. That's why I'd like to be doing nothing.
Hmm.
If I had a boring job that was, you know, not exciting, and then I might want to be like, hey, I need to go get to have some excitement.
Okay.
There's too much excitement.
No, you're boring.
That's what you think.
What life advice would you eventually give the boys?
About
life.
Find something you love and do it until it kills you.
That's terrible.
That's terrible?
That's terrible.
No?
I mean, that's good, but then it's not a happy ending.
I mean, why? I mean, a lot of people, you know, find things they don't like and do it until they kill them.
Well, you should find nothing that should kill you.
I mean, I hate to break it to you, but we're all on a clock here.
TikTok. This is that makes me want to go in a room by myself and make faces in the mirror.
What does that even mean?
It's called a callback in comedy.
No, I get that, but do you make faces in the mirror?
I don't.
Yes. It sounds like you do.
I don't.
I've never heard anybody talk about this before.
Really?
Making faces in the mirror? It's, like to pass the time?
I don't know. Some people are just weird.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it.
Some people have a lot of time on their hands.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would tell the boys to follow, you know, find whatever that, you know, makes them happy. And then, you know, figure out a way to try to see, you know, how much you can do it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think you're going to have, or how do you think you're going to deal with, like, when they become like teenagers and they're like, I hate you, dad.
Say, well, that's not very nice.
You ever think about that? Like they're nice now because they're little.
They're not even that nice now.
They're really not. But they're going to get bigger and they're going to go out in the world and become...
Mm-hmm.
Not so nice little people.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that won't happen. But do you ever think about that?
Do I ever think about that the children are going to grow up and rebel against me?
Yeah.
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? What am I? You know.
Yeah, I had a coworker that was told me that their like 15-year-old son gets in his face every day.
Yeah,
and they're like at each other's throats.
Yeah, and what do they do?
They end up fighting. And then,
what can you do?
And then he's like, oh, but he loves his mother. I'm like, hey, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, hey, please don't beat me up, kids.
I think that you would have to say that to Anthony.
Yeah. Well, please. I'm going to try to stay on his good side.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet that's not fun if you get beat up by your kids and they're not even grownups.
Jordan Clish wants to know.
Yes. Jordan Clish.
Can I have your jacket, Rob?
Classic.
Rob? Can I have your jacket?
Classic Clish.
And Mike Brett, he wants to know what you learned about yourself through podcasting.
I don't really know what I learned about myself. I learned that, I guess, before I did podcasts, I was trying to do a lot of other things, and I find in other areas of my life, I am not great with deadlines, but I find that with podcasting, it's really the only thing that I've ever done that I find that I am able to, you know, hit my deadlines and then also remain very productive. And I find that it is very addicting in terms of the feedback loop of I put content out and then people tell me what they think. And then if I don't put the content out, people, you know, start to say like, hey, where's that thing? Why isn't that thing up? And so I hear that voice in my head before I put the show out. And so that has kept me, whereas I used to try to write, you know, sitcom scripts for like a year. And then nobody was saying like, hey, where's the sitcom script? Hey, where's the sitcom script? And I'd be like, hey, why don't I play Madden?
Yes.
So
you are a procrastinator.
I am a procrastinator, but that I find that then having the peer pressure of things, or not peer pressure, but sort of like accountability pressure of, hey, you said this was going to happen, then I find that that has been a remarkable motivator for me.
Yes. Do you ever have any regrets of like sending or releasing a podcast and then immediately going, oh, crap?
I'm sure that there has been something, but I feel like that there's rarely been like entire podcasts that I feel that way about.
But there have been certain parts where you forgot to edit out.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, it's mostly like a mistake that you know, gets left in. There's, you know, that I am hard pressed to think of too many things that like, oh, I didn't want, I said something that I didn't want to be in the podcast and then I've left it in. And now that's, you know, it's more like a podcast goes out with a mistake in it.
Mm-hmm. If you can change the name of the podcast, would you change it?
I don't think so. I mean,
have you ever regretted having a naming it Robinson Podcast?
I haven't thought about that much. If anything, I've regretted that my website is Rob as a website and not having the website be Rob as a podcast. But that, no, I've never thought back to you know, of a better name for it. I used to at one point in time think that the word podcast was going to go away. I think there was like a talk, like maybe like
it was like a lawsuit.
Well, yeah, but I think that wasn't necessarily about that. That had to do with the RSS feeds and stuff like that. But that I think there was some talk like that the word podcast was sort of like linked to the Apple iPod, which was old technology, which was going away. That people were not using an iPod, and the word podcast was going to, you know, eventually go by the wayside. And there was like a lot of conversation about, well, what is it? It's an internet radio show. It's a, you know, different things. But nobody ever like settled on a name. And I rarely hear anything about that. The word podcast is going to go away.
I remember one time we were at a podcast conference and you were kind of bullied into, they were saying how the name of the podcast was dumb.
I got bullied?
It seemed to me, being the protective wife, that like people weren't being very nice about it.
Yeah. It's worked for me.
Uh-huh. And where are they now?
I think that sometimes people have scoffed at like, Rob has a podcast, I guess. Are you Rob? Like, you know, it's whatever. People make, you know, the same dumb jokes about things, you know, all the time.
Yeah. One of the great things about Rob is that you're not very easily offended.
I've heard differently on that.
No, you're able to brush things off and be like, whatever, you're stupid.
I think that I am good at compartmentalizing certain things. I'm like, all right, I'm just not going to think about that. And then, you know, sometimes I have things where it's like, I can't stop thinking about
that.
Well,
you're only human.
But I think that like the certain things that if I want to, I can sort of, you know, like I'm not going to get too worried about that.
Right. Because if someone said that to me, I'd be like, what did you say? Mm-hmm. What did you say to me?
Yeah, well, look, I get a lot of feedback. It's, you know, it's hard to get too caught up in any one particular piece of feedback. It's when, you know, multiple people say the same thing. That's when I give it significance.
Yeah, everybody seems to have an opinion.
Yes. That is true. And, you know, that's something that has certainly, you know, changed over 9 years of doing the podcast of, you know, that I think that when, you know, the podcast started at a very interesting time in that it was kind of in the early days of social media in terms of that in 2010, you know, I've been on Twitter for, I think, you know, if not 10 years, just about 10 years at this point. And, you know, the people that were, you know, following the podcast or interacting, it was like 100% sort of positive in terms of that. And now, you know, there's a lot of the social media that is just like, you know, a lot of more negativity that's out there. And of course, my reach is bigger now, but, you know, there was less sort of like drive-by, certainly, of people that were just, you know, randomly like, hey, you know, this sucked, you suck, whatever.
And everybody's an expert.
Yes. I see. I feel like that you seem to not like that. I've noticed a couple times you talk about know-it-alls are bad, experts are bad.
No, I just know that you get a lot of crap from people. And, it, you know, it started from the very beginning when you with you doing stand-up comedy that people...
What, am I a target?
No, just you've picked a profession that people are able to nitpick everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you have... In the beginning, it did affect you, but now you have, I don't know if you've just become more confident in yourself, in your podcasting, but most of the time, you're able to just brush it off.
Yeah, if I can.
Yeah.
You know, I do something that you really should not do, where I wake up in the morning, and I've talked about this with Akiva on the Robin Akiva Nita podcast shows, where... I will, you know, I wake up and the first thing I tend to do in the morning is look at my Twitter mentions.
Yeah.
Which is not good. That's not the most productive way to start the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I sort of want to know if, you know, the world is mad at me.
So what should you do instead of checking your Twitter mentions first thing in the morning? Is there something else that we can do with your hands to make them not reach for your phone?
What are you saying?
Take that how you want.
No, I should just, you know, get up and, you know, and exercise and then, you know, get the, you know, the ball rolling. And mm-hmm. then, you know, that's, I think when I'm at my most productive, I get up in the morning and I exercise. And then that's sort of like, okay, I've done one productive thing. And let me just put like, you know, that you have momentum going throughout the day. Lately, I can't get out of bed in the morning. So.
And why is that?
I don't know. It's cold.
It's pretty cold.
It's cold. It's dark. You know,
but this is the best time to get up and work out because it's not this.
I hear you.
Summer where it's just so freaking hot here.
I've just been not on my, you know, regular routine. So
how can we get you back on your routine? Do we just shake you?
Well, the beginning of the new year tends to be a good place, where I sort of start to, you know, kickstart things.
Mm-hmm. Rob is really good about the end of the year. Clearing stuff out.
That's my goal, and I've said this a couple of times where I didn't get to do that in going into 2018, and I feel like I've really felt the effects of that throughout the whole year.
I feel like we have become hoarders, and we need to get rid of stuff.
Okay. Well, that can be your project. That can be your 2019 New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I'm on a mission just to get rid of everything. Okay. I want to be a minimalist.
Okay, we can work on that. All right, before we go any further, Nicole, let me. I know this is your.
I thought I was driving this show.
Okay, would you like to talk about do the read for Grove Collaborative?
No, I am not a good reader.
Okay, then why do you interrupt me when I'm talking about Grove Collaborative? It's the B Corporation that is changing the world. Did you know 94,000 trees get cut down in the U.S. every day to make toilet paper and paper towels?
And did you know that Rob has a major obsession with paper towels and he wastes about all of those trees?
No, stop it. Paper towels are one of the greatest inventions, but now you no longer have to feel badly about wasting paper with Seedling. 100% tree-free paper made from bamboo and from sugarcane. Stop paying to cut down trees. It's a practical solution to one of the world's big environmental problems, deforestation. Now, Nicole, I know that you have been a fan of Grove Collaborative. We started working with them in the summer, and they had Nicole try out Grove Collaborative. What's so great about Grove Collaborative?
They have really great quality, clean products for cleaning, for skincare, for just about everything. And especially having little ones that like to lick windows, floors, and whatever they can put their little tongues on. It's important to use non-toxic chemicals.
Every product is vetted to be the most effective, sustainable, natural product out there. No animal testing either. Your one-stop shop for household, pet, and personal care staples. Life is easier and cheaper when you shop with Grove. You can auto-schedule shipments, customize your basket, even text a real person to get product recommendations with price matching and a 100% happiness guarantee. You'll know that you're getting the best deal because they will even beat other online retailers. So if you haven't already tried Grove, you need to start today before this deal runs out. For a limited time, our listeners who sign up get an amazing free 30-day supply of Seedling, Grove's tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, a free 60-day VIP membership and a surprise bonus gift when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. Check out Grove and their special offers at grove.co/rob. That's grove.co/rob. Okay. Nicole.
Yes.
What else do you want to know? What else do you want to know?
How am I doing?
2,500 podcasts. We're here. You've got this exclusive interview with me.
Well, how am I doing in your seat? I feel like I'm not doing that great.
You're doing okay. I'm an open book. What do you want to know? What do the listeners want to know?
Well, Justin Jones wants to know when you're going to Florida. When are you going to do a show in Florida?
I mean, I don't have anything scheduled.
That would be a great place to go.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, Florida. I mean, there's lots of places to go. It's hard to take this show on the road. There's a lot of stuff that goes into.
But it's fun when you do take the show on the road.
It is fun, mm-hmm. but it's also a lot of work in terms of the planning and venue and then getting people there and stuff like that. So I understand. I mean, there was a point where a couple of years ago when I wanted to, like, you know, how many weeks a year can we you know, travel and do the show? Mm-hmm. And look, I love getting out there and meeting everybody, but it is a lot of work, and it's, you know, is it always the best shows? I'm not sure. I hope so. You know, it really is. You know, it's a challenge.
I like going to the shows and meeting all the people.
I understand why other people like it. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
Calm down. Is this how you talk to a podcast host?
Yes. Depends which one.
Okay. So let's say Survivor stays on the air for like 15 years.
Okay.
Or 15 more seasons.
15 more seasons. Okay.
Where do you see Rob Has a Podcast in that? What is the future of it?
I don't know. I mean, I will keep doing it for as long as you guys will have me. I don't have like a master plan in terms of like where we're going.
Well, how many more years do you have it in you? Your voice?
As many as you guys will let me. This is, I mean, I'm on like hour five of talking into a microphone today.
Well, this eventually will be too much for you.
Look, I look at this like I'm an athlete, mm-hmm. where, and I rarely get to use that phrase, but I will, you know, I keep going while I'm in my, you know,
prime.
I wasn't going to use that word, but I you know, as long as I'll do it, as long as I can do it until, I mean, it's not that hard. I hope I can, you know, keep doing this for a really long time, but I don't know.
It's harder than I think people think it is. Like, you are up early in the morning, getting yourself ready to start the day, podcasting for hours on end.
Like, I don't know how many more years I have with my voice or my hearing or, you know, anything like that. You know, I'm wearing headphones all day. You know,
it's, you're not listening to heavy metal.
I'm not listening to heavy metal, but I think that's, you know, there's a lot of people in radio that they, you know, get hard of hearing, you know, eventually.
Really? Is that a thing?
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I think, like, Rush Limbaugh is, like, deaf, I think.
But he's old.
Well, look, that, what are you going to...
That might be because he's old.
It might be, but why are you challenging me on this? Have you done research on this?
Well, I worry about your stress level.
Like, you don't seem to.
Why, because I stress you out?
Yeah.
But that's part of my job.
To stress me out?
It's your wife. That's what wives do.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll do this for as long as I love what I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that there's very few people that get to say that. So yeah, and I complain about a lot of stuff, but I hope.
No way.
I hope that I do it in an artful way.
Complaining?
Where, yes.
Oh, well, you have definitely mastered the art of complaining. I wouldn't say it's artful.
So I do. I do complain. That I hope that others can find some amusement in my.
You're complaining.
In my complaining.
Oh, we do.
Yes,
we do.
Okay, good. We do. Well, then I'm happy.
David Baltazar wants to know if you think the mom's Facebook group is a cult.
So I think that, you know, we're talking like this is the five for five and people know what we're talking about. So Nicole is involved in a lot of Facebook groups that are all moms.
And a lot of it is for entertainment purposes.
For your entertainment purposes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, but then you don't act like, oh my God, here, look at this. This is so funny. I think that sometimes you're like, hey, all the moms are talking about this. What do you think about this? Like,
well, give me an example.
The moms group says that there's somebody found a grenade in the area. And
that did happen once, and there was a grenade.
What do
okay.
We do? I don't know, just like you get like everybody gets like really worked
everybody
up
gets
about,
really worked up
about things. Like, uh-huh. Hey, just heard that there was a car driving around with tinted windows in the neighborhood. Everybody get the kids inside.
Yeah, and one time that was Rob doing a podcast in the car.
No. One time I did have to go do a podcast in a car,
and I warned you, and I said someone is going to post about you.
So I feel like it's a lot of everybody getting each other worked up and talking about.
And that's what the internet does.
You know, oh my kid that my kid brought Cool Whip to school and now I'm fighting somebody. So I think it's a lot of people getting each other worked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want to get anybody worked up, but we do want to hear about possible nicknames for your podcasting duos. Carrie Gravelin, she's asking if you can give your podcasting duos nicknames like Rob and Josh, Rob and Steven, Rob and Jessica. Go Nick Wilson style and give them a nickname.
Well, I don't know if I can effortlessly do it like Nick Wilson.
No, you know that he stays up at night, like while you know he can't sleep, and he's coming up with this
is
stuff.
Is that what he does?
Oh, totally. He's not. This isn't on the fly.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like I have the know-it-alls with Steven, so that's like that's.
But if that didn't exist, what would you call yourself?
No, that exists.
That's, no, but it doesn't.
That's what it is.
No, but it doesn't.
That's like, okay, well, now Mason Dixon doesn't exist. What's your... that's what it is.
Like, if you and Steven were going out to the club, what would you call yourselves? You wouldn't call yourselves know-it-alls
losers.
Going out to the club.
Look, what do you want, a 10-hour podcast? That's the know-it-alls. That's the one we have that one in the bank. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
I can picture you and Steven at the club doing, what's that,
Night at the Roxbury.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's what I picture.
That's you and Steven.
Steven Fishback.
Totally.
In terms of me and Josh, I don't know. These are so hard that if
so, you have to stay up at night and think about this.
Yeah. How about this? When we interview Nick Wilson on the podcast, he can come in and tell us what all the names
now
are.
Now you're giving him a heads up, just like
because I don't want there to be like 5 minutes of dead air when he's trying to come up with you know. Hopefully, he'll have them already.
Yeah,
that's good. It's the magic of podcasting.
Yes, the magic of podcasting. We'll.
That'll be the name of my autobiography.
The Art of Podcasting?
Well, you said Magic of Podcasting. Oh.
The art, the magic.
Mm-hmm.
You got it all.
One and the same.
Yeah. Will Alfertit? How do you pronounce that?
Just say Will.
Just Will. Speaking of the magic of podcasting, Will wants to know if podcasting has gotten easier for you after doing so many podcasts, or is it harder because there are more eyes on you now that you have a broader audience?
I would say that it's easier than when I first started. I didn't know what I was doing, and now I can sort of just concentrate more on what I'm saying. And so I'm, but you know, this is oftentimes like I'm always trying new stuff. Where this the one thing that we really made a major push on in 2018 was getting the video the way that I want it here in the studio. So there's sometimes I'm doing a podcast where it's me, I'm talking to a guest that you know. I'm thinking about like camera angles and what I'm going to say next and what sound effect that I'm going to play. So it has gotten more complicated,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I have a better command of what I'm doing than I did, say, 8 years ago.
I feel like you also have a better, you're able to come up with ideas really quickly for new things to do on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know if we had any ideas in 8 or 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple. You know.
But now you come up with things and like I remember like when you would come up with some ideas, I was like, really? You think that's going to work? No. Can I finish my story?
Yeah.
Ooh, wipe that face off.
What idea did I have that you were doubting?
There was one when you had Corinne come on the podcast.
Yes.
And you also did another podcast with like a 7-year-old.
I don't think I did a podcast or with a 7-year-old.
The 7-year-old did a podcast or whatever.
Yes.
And you were going to use that as a, well, if you don't want to listen to Corinne.
Well, we did do this.
I know. I was there. But can I finish?
Okay,
You're not a very good guest. You are not.
Okay, fine. Then maybe people won't ask me to be a guest on podcasts. Mm-hmm.
But you came up with this idea to have Corinne on the podcast. And if people didn't like it, they can listen to the 7-year-old. And I was like, who wants to listen to a 7-year-old? But the idea worked. And from there on, I was like, Rob knows how to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't you feel stupid?
Not really, but I guess that your story ultimately was that you feel stupid because you doubted my idea.
I would not say I felt stupid.
And I feel stupid because
you reprimanded me.
Before you finished the story?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Look, that something that I have been trying to deal with since the inception of the podcast is how do I fend off the criticism before it happens?
Mm-hmm.
And look, there's a lot of it and it's only increased since then. But, you know, if, you know, people are going to be upset that something exists, then I try to figure out a way. Well, what is the way that, like, okay, well, then you don't have to listen to it. Because, like, well, you know, how come I don't have a podcast to listen to? And then in that instance, like, okay, well, if there's this podcast that you don't like, then you can, how about that? You can listen to this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why, you know,
and that comes with experience.
Well, and that's also, I think that one of the bonuses of that, I make so much content. I mean, here in this 2500th episode, like this show is like the bus. And and if you miss one or you don't like the look of it,
another one's coming in 15 minutes.
Yeah. maybe we'll find something you like.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to listen to them all.
I said you'll get to them all.
Oh, you get to them all. Yes. I said you get to them all.
No.
No.
No, no one will.
Some people do. And I understand some people are completists and have to and feel like compelled to listen to, but I release you of that. You don't mm-hmm. have to if you don't want to. I get that you want to, but look, that I'm doing my best to try to, you know, keep everybody happy.
And what advice would you give to somebody who's like, I think I want to start a podcast?
I mean, do it.
I usually say don't.
Yeah. Well, I look, then the person says, like, well, I was going to start a podcast, but then Rob told me not to. Like, mm-hmm. do you believe this guy? So, yeah, do it. Have at it. Go for it.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Would you recommend them doing as many shows as you or one show a week?
Well, I would recommend to anybody, no matter what you're doing, just, you know, start, pace yourself, because, like, you know, somebody that, like, and you wouldn't probably know this.
It's a marathon, people.
Yeah, it's a marathon. If somebody is like, hey, I'm joining the gym, I'm going, you know, 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, you're going to burn yourself out where, mm-hmm. you know, you got to figure out something that's sustainable. And then if you love it, you know, you're going to be like, hey, I'm going to start running. I'm going to run 12 miles today and 12 miles tomorrow. And then 12 miles again. You know, you gotta, you know, make sure that you're not doing it in a way that you're going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start slow, pick, you know, do it a little bit.
Yes.
You know, do up podcast. See if you like it, do another one.
Mm-hmm. See if people are listening.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people are listening. If you want to do a podcast, then do it and let those be the worst podcasts that anybody has ever heard. And it's a good thing that nobody's listening if you stink.
Do you have any?
That's the you can't get good until you stink.
Mm-hmm. That's what most stand-up comics say, that you have to go and you have to keep doing open mics and you have to bomb. And then you have to keep going.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that was really discouraging for me with stand-up comedy, was that I was doing stand-up comedy and I had the opportunity, because I had just gotten off of Survivor, where I was doing stand-up comedy in front of an audiences that I shouldn't have been in front of as a beginner stand-up comedy. Like I was on like a couple of shows at like at Governors and at different like comedy clubs where I did not belong on the stage at at that time. I needed to be at open mics with like 10 people, and I was in front of, you know, 150, 200 people, and I did not, and I bombed, and it was terrible.
In fairness, everybody bombed. Okay. Everybody bombed.
No, but the real comedians didn't bomb.
No, but the people that you were with, like everybody.
It was just really discouraging experiences. Like, what am I doing? Why am I putting myself through this? Mm-hmm. Why? And I sort of, but I felt pressure in that I just had come off of Survivor, and I'm like, hey, I got to get my name out there. I got to keep going. Like the time is now, but mm-hmm. I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I was doing stuff. So, you know, in terms of, podcasting, the time to make podcasts that stink is when, you know, it's just your parents listening.
That was hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah,
being in the audience,
it was hard. But it was hard to live.
Yes, like you had a very good stage presence, but the crowds are awful.
Well, they sense fear.
Yeah,
I'm sure it happens on a podcast too. But then the people that are, you know, they can send you mean tweets, but they can't yell at you and throw you off while you're doing the podcast.
Yeah,
I mean that's really hard to do. I mean, at that last Boston Know-It-Alls that we did, I was like had like a heckler like in the front row, and I was just doing the Know-It-Alls, and I couldn't even concentrate on what I was trying to say.
But you handled it.
I mean, barely.
But you did.
I mean, I got through it.
Mm-hmm. What'd you tell him?
That the guy was like yelling and stuff about like Steven is right. Steven is right.
Oh, and I was Steven ate it up.
I'm sure, but it's like, sir, please, I can't hear myself think.
Uh-huh.
You know, I need to, like, I'm trying to concentrate here. Mm-hmm. And usually the audiences are really great at the live shows. But,
yeah.
You know, it's very hard to, like, you know, think of what you're trying to say and then also, like, have a person, like, screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yelling stuff out or booing you or talking.
Kind of like our arguments.
Why? Who's booing? I'm the booer?
Usually I'm the booer.
So it's hard for me to come up with what I'm going to say when you're booing me?
No, you never have a problem coming up with something to say when we're arguing.
Yes. Okay. Well, blame my podcasting training.
I think it's your Survivor training.
Why?
Why? Because you're really good at arguing.
That's what Survivor
you
has trained
you?
You
were able, when you were on Survivor,
I was on Survivor for 50 days in my life. I don't think there's too many things.
But it gave you that confidence in your argument.
I really don't think so. I reject
it, it
that.
Was just,
I reject
it was
that
just
outright.
In your
that,
blood.
That's preposterous.
Mm. Speaking of Survivor, so Lori is asking if CBS called you tomorrow mm-hmm. and said, Jeff is retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to be the host of Survivor? Would you do it?
Yeah. I mean, that's like such a no-brainer. I mm-hmm. mean, that's like, I mean...
What if Julie Chen retires and they want you to host Big Brother? Would you do that?
That would be an even easier no-brainer.
Right, because it's local.
I mean, it's local and, you know, either of those things would be a dream job for anybody, and you'd be an idiot to say... There is a 0.0, sorry, Gabby and Christian, percent chance that either of those things would be a possibility.
What show would you turn down as host?
No, there's that I would turn down as the host. I mean, we're talking about, you know, TV. I mean, that's millions of people.
Do you think that might be the possibility of, like, your future?
I used to think that.
Yeah.
I used to think that when we first started post-show recaps, that is the future of television a Talking Dead type show for every single program. But mm-hmm. That television has gone in a way that I did not expect, mm-hmm. where that it has become so splintered that a show like The Walking Dead was such a juggernaut that it spawned a show about the show that was also on television. And that was sort of like what I felt like post-show recaps was going to be, of that we can be like the, you know, the after show for all these different scripted shows. But, you know, scripted TV has become so fractured in like a, you know, post Netflix world that other than Game of Thrones, you know, there's no shows that really have that sort of critical mass.
Yeah.
You know, and there are certain things that, you know, like your This Is Us and stuff like that. But I have no idea how many people watch, you know, This Is Us on a weekly basis.
Everybody in the entire world watches it.
Well, okay, fine. But I'm not the right person to host an after show. because that.
But if
I'm
they
not
asked
be,
you to, you would.
Sure, I would, but that would, I would be a terrible choice to host This Is Us after show.
You're kind of Jackish.
Okay. Thank you. I think
you got the beard,
but everybody will be crying and I'll be like,
and Rob hates crying.
I'll be
he hates it.
Oh, big deal. Louis died tonight, everybody. So,
oh, great. Spoiler alert.
Is there even a person? No.
Well, there, people pop up.
Sure. People pop up and then they die. And then they die. So I would not be like a Chris Hardwick of like, oh my God. Okay. All right, everybody. So, you know, I'm so sorry to be the one to the bearer of bad news, but we'll get through this. I'll hold your hand here tonight.
You need to watch it.
I need to watch This Is Us.
You do.
When am I going to fit that in?
Maybe it'll make you more of a sensitive person.
I'm sensitive.
You're not.
I'm sensitive, but it's not a documentary. It's not real. Mm. I don't need to be sad over fake things.
It is real. It's real life.
fine. Mm. It's not high on my bucket list.
And you know what? I don't want to watch it with you.
Why?
Because that is my time.
Okay, fine.
That is my time with Jack.
Then why are you telling me to watch it?
I'm taking it back.
Okay, good.
I'm taking it back. I'm releasing you of that.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you want to continue talking about the podcast or you want to go into your personal life?
I feel like that the podcast is, but that's just me.
Well, let's see how you would act under pressure with your children.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Hassler had an experience with her kids.
Mm-hmm.
She says my husband and I have a son 2 months younger than Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony's 3. When out at a restaurant one Tuesday evening, they were seated next to the only table of people dining. After about 5 minutes, a waiter came to tell them, the next table has asked if you would move.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do? And what would I do?
I would say, I don't care. Let's move to another table because...
So you would get Anthony out of the high chair.
I would pick up the high chair and I would manually move it to another table and be as far away from these horrible people as we could.
Would you give a dirty look?
I guess so.
Yeah.
But... You unfortunately are a crazy person.
Not so crazy.
And are looking for conflict wherever
not
you can
looking
find
for it,
it.
But I don't turn it down.
And so now we're in an argument with random people in a restaurant. I just want to be done with I'm paying for a dinner. I'd like to enjoy it.
I would say to them, are you going to take some of this food off of our bill if we move?
You'd say that to the manager.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right. I'm interested. If you fight with
you're interested in that?
If you fight with the manager, like if you put your, aggression to good use, like if you were calling like our utilities and being like, hey, I'm tired of paying for all these channels, then I'd be fine. That picking fights with with randoms, there are crazy people.
I would
out
say
there.
Something. I would say something to them and it probably wouldn't be nice, but I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't yell.
I mean, this almost the same thing happened with, we went to the movies last week to go see The Grinch and then people were sitting in our seats and they said, oh, could we sit in these seats? Cause we have little kids. And then you said, no, we have little kids.
That is not what I said.
What did you say?
I said, well, we have little kids too and we paid for these seats because we have little kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then ultimately what happened?
Nicole said, it's fine. I said, okay, great. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not as psycho as he makes me.
Yes. How about maybe a question about the podcast? 2,500 podcasts. People were waiting for this. 9 years in the making to get to this point.
All right. This is kind of personal / podcasty. Okay. So Chris Long, he is asking, if Dominic and Anthony told you they wanted to appear on a reality TV show,
mm-hmm.
which would you choose for them and which one would you disown them?
Okay.
I added the last part.
So it's not a multiple choice.
No, which one would you approve of and which one would you disown them?
If this was their dream, like if they grew up watching Survivor and it was their dream to go beyond Survivor, then I would say, you know, go for it. But I don't know necessarily, like, if, you know, what I tend to say about this stuff is that, you know, the reality shows are for people that don't have anything great going on. You know, there's not.
Well, there are some people on Survivor that have great things going on.
There are some people that have great things going on, but I think that more often than not, I feel like it's somebody who is saying, I feel stuck. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, or I'm hoping that this really shakes something up or something comes of this. Or, you know, it tends to be, I think, somebody who is looking for a change who ends up seeking out reality TV. So I think that it's not something that I would like push them into. Like, I know that there's other people that they, you know, come off these shows and they're like really pushing their offspring to go on to said shows. And I would not ever do that.
Yes. If they ever came home and said that they wanted to be on The Bachelor, I'd be like, we failed as parents.
Look,
we failed.
If they wanted to do the Bachelor, I mean, I think there's probably worse things that you could get into.
Herpes.
Yeah, I guess so. Any other questions about Rob has a podcast?
Let's say that there
on the 2500th episode of Rob has a podcast.
There is a award show for podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Which podcast would you submit as like a representation of your podcast, like they do for like the Emmys and stuff?
Like podcast of the year.
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been in that position before where I've had to submit something and I try to find something that's like the most generic thing that I've done. Like I don't think I probably would submit something that was like, you know, the Survivor David versus Goliath episode number 8 know-it-alls for that, because I feel like that what we do is so niche that if it was like the Survivor podcast of the year awards, that would be totally different. But I think I would probably try to find something that was, you know, completely more generic, like Robin Akiva watch Leprechaun.
Yes.
Where you don't need a knowledge base to be able to understand what's happening on that podcast.
Mm-hmm. What is the favorite podcast that you listen to, and what has influenced your podcasting style? And how would you describe your podcasting style?
Nonsense. That, you know, because I don't do just one specific podcast. In terms of the actual podcast that I listen to, I feel like I tend to listen to more
boring.
Boring? What? Boring what?
Podcasts.
Boring? I listen to boring podcasts?
Sometimes you're listening to stuff and I'm like, what is that?
What
News Fest.
What do I listen to that's boring? What's an example of a boring podcast?
There's some political stuff that you listen to.
I really don't listen to a lot of political podcasts. But
maybe that's just on your lunch break.
I almost never listen to.
What is that? Am I making this up?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're saying it's boring. You're not paying attention to what I'm listening to and saying it's something different. I mean, I tend to listen to a lot of radio that is distributed in podcast form. So I tend to listen to a lot of stuff that's from WFAN.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to listen to, Howard Stern on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do listen to some podcasts, but there's not a ton of, you know, regular podcasts that I consume. You know, I tend to listen to a lot of like, you know, news and sports, you know, that in, you know, delivered by Podcatcher. And that's, you know, mostly what I listen to. I tend to, you know, there's not a ton of podcasts I listen to that are sort of like regular scheduled podcasts that are similar to what I do about any given subject.
Yes. But Howard Stern has definitely been someone who has influenced you in your podcasting styles.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's the best at what he does. He's had amazing longevity in terms of his career. You know, I sort of have, you know, different views on the subject matter that, you know, I really don't like hearing about, like, you know, gross stuff and, you know, doing gross out humor. And, you know, that they definitely, you know, have more of an R-rated show than mm-hmm. than I do on Rob as a podcast, but I am in awe that they are able to fill so many hours like with a show so effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of these like celebrities that have podcasts now?
So look, I am on the Podcast One network. They have a lot of celebrities. I think a lot of celebrities feel like, hey, it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. And so why don't I just do a podcast? I do think that it is something that you have to, you know, have a specific talent for. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that also there's like this idea of, oh, this person has 100,000 followers on Instagram, so well, they should have a podcast. But they don't say like, hey, this person has, you know, 5 million Instagram followers, like we should put them on a sitcom. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's certainly I think there's a skill set. But if people want to hear a podcast, I mean, the great thing about that is like, I don't have to listen to anybody else's podcast.
Yeah. There's just a lot of celebrities that are getting podcasts now. Like they're kind of doing what you have worked so hard to do.
But whatever, just, you know, anybody can start a podcast. Anybody can just start a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, the people have to come back and listen.
I know. It just makes me mad because I've seen how hard that you've worked to get to where you are with the podcast.
It doesn't bother me.
Yes.
It really doesn't. Like, you know, people, you know, especially when it's not somebody who's coming in and then competing with me on anything, that can be annoying, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like, hey, I'm here now. I'm ready to like, you know, let me call out Rob.
Yeah,
I do find that annoying. But in terms of like a celebrity, what do I care?
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, have at it.
Yes.
Go to town.
But going forward, what do you want to do with the podcast? Is there anything you want to change?
I'm very happy with you know how things are. I mean, that all the areas of improvement that I'm really focused on are things like outside of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Like getting more organized in my day-to-day life. I mean, this is my favorite part of all of this is when I get to, you know, get in here and talk to everybody and, you know, and have, you know, laugh on the podcast and talk about this and talk to really funny people and come up with, you know, interesting things to say. So this is great.
Who would be your like dream get to get onto the podcast that you haven't?
I would say that in terms of survivors, there's really not any survivor that I'm like dying to talk to.
What if getting Jeff into the studio?
I mean,
would you do that?
I feel like that would be so awkward.
Why?
It's like just have Jeff Probst in my house. I don't know. It's like I would feel like if I went somewhere and interviewed him, I feel like that would seem more normal than to have him.
But what if he was like, you know, Rob?
Like, I feel like I'd have to clean up for so long.
You definitely would.
Yeah, he'd be like, well, like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
what are you, like this is depressing.
You know? You need some products from Grove Collaborative.
Yeah, you sit in this room all day. This is what you do. Like, and you never want to like go out and like see the world and like have an adventure. And it's like, it would be too, I don't know.
Would you turn it down if he said, you know, I really want to come to the studio and see where that magic happens?
I don't see that happening. But if that's what he wanted to do.
So what if he like lives in the area?
Yeah, I would come to you. Let me bring my gear to you.
No, I want to come into your world. This is what he's going to say.
That is so not what he's going to say.
He's having a really great day. And
yeah. No, I would go to him. I'd say, hey, let's go to Podcast One. Mm-hmm. Let's meet in the studio. Mm-hmm.
I want to go to your house. I want to meet your kids. I want to meet your wife. I hear she's amazing.
This is Jeff Probst.
Yes.
Yes.
He had a really great day and he's just excited.
Again, if it was that important to him, I would say yes, but I would not be my first choice mm-hmm. on what to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I think podcast one would actually be like the place to take him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can go and do a, because with podcast one, if I, anytime I want, I can go and book the studio space to go, and they have like a, you know, recording studio there. It's just, you know, in Beverly Hills, and it's a little bit of a hike to get there.
But it would be worth it.
I've done that in the past. I've done, you know, interviews with, you know, Malcolm there. I interviewed Abby Maria there. I went there one time and interviewed Francesca. We did like the Love Know-It-Alls.
Really?
Or not Love, it wasn't called Love Know-It-Alls. It was called Francesca Gives Dating Advice. But I probably like, you know, five or six times gone. I did a podcast with Josh Wiggler there one time. So, you know, I've gone in there and they have, you know, nice production facilities. It's just that, you know, I have nice production facilities here.
Yeah.
You know, and most of the people that come in and do their stuff are, you know, they have like, you know, people that are sort of like celebrities that they come in and they record stuff there and then that's their podcast.
So Francesca was on the show and you kind of had like a Love Know-It-Alls with her. Is there any other like spinoffs you would like to do that you can see happening in that creative brain of yours?
Nothing that's jumping out to me right now. I mean, I think that the one thing I've sort of talked about was, and it's not really a spinoff, was that I really liked when I talked to Terry Dietz a couple of weeks ago, where T-Bird called up a, you know, T-Bird had somebody like, hey, we're going to call Terry. And so I feel like that I have long wanted to try to reach out to some more of like the alumni that are sort of like from way back. And I feel like I have an idea for a podcast, which would be Tuesdays with T-Bird, where we like call up an old, like in off season. It's like, oh, okay, here's this person from Survivor Marquesas. And then, you know, it's T-Bird's friend.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
But no, I don't have anything that's too crazy.
Every year we do our Survivor assessments.
Yes.
Do you ever look at the bios and like think of like what you would say now?
Do you ever look at the bios?
And like if you were redoing your bio, your Survivor bio?
No, that's not something that I really think about a lot.
Well, not a lot, but when you're looking at it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really, I think I've thought about like, if I went on Survivor now, would I be, you know, my occupation would be podcaster, but I don't really think about like what I would say in my bio or what Survivor I would be like. Or,
oh yeah. What Survivor would you be like?
I don't know. Me. I don't know.
You can't pick yourself.
Why not? I don't even know if I don't think they ask.
Because no one knows who you are.
But so I'm a new person.
No, you're you.
So I'm me, but I'm a new Survivor.
But what do they? No,
I'm
you're not a
returning player. What is this?
I'm just saying that other people who are coming on the show don't know who you are.
So am I playing in a new player season?
Forget it. It went over your head. Forget it.
It did?
Yes. Okay. So if you were on the show again, like, would you go back? We talk about this.
I don't want to.
You wouldn't at all? Like, never?
What's the upside here?
You have no desire to go back and play?
Almost
because
none.
You are the only survivor.
I'm not the only one.
You're just about.
I'm probably in the minority. For what?
Mm-hmm.
For
you're
why?
Not. You don't want that experience again?
No, not really. I mean, there's parts of it that are fun.
Uh huh.
But it's a slog. I think that you really what I mean, and maybe I'm, you know, as all of us are as human beings, you know, shaped by our previous experiences. But you're not really that much in control of your own destiny. I mean, that sure, everything could break right. And it's like, OK, well, now here it is. It's day 15. And now I'm set here. I've got like, you know, I can make some moves. But, you know, I very easily could be in a group where they just say, no, you're out first. Like, all right, well, now what?
Well, now you go on vacation.
You know, and so then you go on vacation. And, you know, I joke around about how, like, going to Ponderosa would be, like, a dream.
Totally, totally.
I would actually really love that, going to Ponderosa. That's, like, my, you know, my dark fantasies of, like, being just...
I would be so angry at you.
What, if I got voted out early?
And then you get to go on a luxury vacation. And I get and I'm
no,
stuck
I don't,
here.
I don't want to go on a luxury vacation. Wait,
but it is.
No, there's two things. There's the pre-jury trip, which would be a nightmare.
Why?
I would, I've got to like hang out with all these other people that are all mad and have a roommate and traveling all these places and do like what a group of random seven people want to do every
Rob
day.
Rob hates group activities.
Like, okay, all right, we're in, we're in Mongolia and we're going roller skating today because that's what.
I don't think that's what they do in Mongolia.
Yeah, that's what Ty wants to do today. So we have to do that. I don't know. Look, that I've been on a pre-jury trip and I hated it. It was some of the worst times of my life.
It really was.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, poor you. No, I was miserable to go on the pre-jury trip. It was my dream to go on Survivor. And then it was my dream that I was going to go back and win Survivor. And I was so confident that I was going to win.
I was so happy you weren't with hot chicks on the pre-jury trip.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, good to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, okay, well then I didn't win the first time, but then I'm going to go back and win this time. Mm-hmm. And then I got blindsided. I was out and I was like, well, what is this? This wasn't supposed to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Now what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And I was miserable and I just like, I had no future, no plans. Like, well, now what? Now, what do I do with this? Where I've now been a two-time survivor and now I lost and now what? And I lost on like day 12. And, like, nobody cares about me. And now, well, what do I do? And now I was just like, I just want to go home. And yeah. I had just started dating you within like the last year.
It wasn't even that long.
Yeah, 6 months. And I'm like, this is like, I hate it here. Mm-hmm. And I was I don't care for the cold. And, you know, I didn't mind it when I was at Ponderosa because I was at least like, I was like, hey, like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm still like hanging out like on Survivor and right. Somebody new is coming in and I'll find out about the game. And I'm hanging out like at Ponderosa and there's like food here and, you know, I have my own cabin.
But they also did it differently on All Stars. Like, they broke you guys up into groups.
Right, it was in two groups. And then I went down to Argentina and then was hanging out with, and Richard Hatch like was like, hey, but I need to be put up in my own hotel. And so, and then he
you
like...
You should have done the same thing he did then.
That's not me. That's not me. I demand to be put up in this different hotel. But he did. And then they said, and then we never saw him again.
And then he met the man of his dreams. Are they still together?
They are not. But
dreams are broken.
And then it was just me and Rudy and Tina for, you know, 3 weeks. And it was like, okay, we're going fly fishing today in the, you know, freezing river. And we're going to go horseback riding up a snowy mountain.
Rob doesn't like that.
And I'm just like, it was horrible. It was, went up, like we hiked this, this mountain to get to this like cabin that was like at the top of a mountain. It was called the Frey Hut. And,
Walter Frey?
No, and not Jessica Frey either. And it was up the Frey Hut and Rudy was like, this hut, I don't think it's that great. I don't even know why we're going to this hut. I was like, I don't know either, Rudy.
And didn't like, it was...
I love Rudy, though. I love
You did bond Rudy. With Rudy. But didn't the other group, it was Jerry...
Jerry, Colby, and Ethan.
And they went to like Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all the young, fun people, they went to go, you know, party in Mexico. And I'm hiking up to the snowy hut with Rudy and Tina. And then we got there and then we slept over in like this like snowy hut, like in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing there. It's just like, there's like books there. And then Tina went on ahead and like did like a snow hike across like something else. And then me and Rudy just went home the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, I really, once I was with, you know, 72-year-old Rudy, I felt very much that we were on the same page.
Because you are. You are a 72-year-old Rudy.
We were, you know, kindred spirits.
Yes.
Not in a homosexual way. That's what he says. That's what he says. I'm just, that's one of his catchphrases.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I loved spending time with Rudy.
Yes.
We were very much simpatico.
And as your loved one at home waiting, like, this is music to my ears that you're having a terrible time.
Now or back then? Yeah,
well,
that's a horrible thing that you just said.
It's not, because we were in a new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you like having the time of your life with like these women in bikinis that are hot, that are like attention.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great.
Well, I don't even want to ask you who you think is out there in this Survivor All-Stars cast.
No, just like in general, like you're secluded with Rudy and Tina. Amazing.
Okay. Well, nice to know how your thought process
that
works.
Was back then. Now I'm more confident in myself.
Yeah. Anyway, so that this whole question was, you know, that I feel like that, you know, so much of my fate is out of my hands. Sure. Like, I guess there's a possibility I could go back and it would be, you know, the greatest experience of my life. And then I go on and win $1 million. And from there, development deal. And
that doesn't happen anymore.
But we're talking about, like, why don't I just go play the Powerball at this point where, you know, I'm going to shoot the moon with that. It's all going to be so great.
You probably have better chances of winning Survivor.
Yeah. And then like, I guess maybe like realistic best case scenario, like, oh, I like, you know, I get to the fire making challenge and lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh boy, Rob,
would you make the fire?
Rob should have won. I guess he is the smartest player never to win. Okay. And now what do I do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it would be the best thing I would say is it would be a great commercial for the podcast, and it would be millions of dollars in free advertising that I could never, afford. Mm-hmm. And that would be the best case scenario. But I mean, but more likely, you know, I'm the, you know, I make it two or three episodes, and then, you know, then I'm at Ponderosa and I'm like, dead in the water here with this podcast because, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now what? Now I gotta have fill in hosts. And
who would you have fill in?
I don't even want to get like.
I'm interviewing you, and I'm asking you a question.
Nobody would want this job.
Everybody wants this job.
No, because there's so much to fill in for, and it's not a fun job where then it's like, oh well, like Rob would do it this way, and then you're getting a lot of criticism, and anybody that was going to fill in for me would end up hating me by the, and not even for what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Maybe they would just respect you for what you do and put up with.
Perhaps you would fill in.
You seem very glasses half empty right now.
I love what I get to do. Mm-hmm. So I've worked so hard to get to this point where I'm creatively fulfilled, and I love what I get to do. And hopefully people love what I'm making. Like, people would, you know, give anything to do, you know, to have this, you know, be able to, you know, work hard at something they're passionate about, and be able to have people appreciate that work. What am I like? I'm here. I'm you know, mm-hmm. I want to do this for as long as I can. I'm not looking to do something else besides this.
Mm-hmm. Had you not had the podcast, would you go back on Survivor?
When the podcast first started, in all seriousness, when the podcast first started, then and like Johnny Fairplay used to call me up, and it's like, hey, yeah, so you know, they're casting for the next season, Survivor Brains versus Brawn. Me, so he's like the Brains tribe. It's me, you, Steven Fishback, Yao Man.
Is he casting this?
That's one of his talents. He's able to cast the seasons. So, uh-huh. And he had like the whole list of like, here's all the people that it's for.
And who actually made it on?
First off, they never did. They did a Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn like, uh-huh, 3 years later with new players, but they've never like done an all-star season with that. But he's like, no, that's the next season. That's going to be Survivor 22.
Uh-huh.
is going to be Survivor. I'm like, okay, I guess so. If you say I'm in the mix, like, mm-hmm, I guess, you know, cause I had, I mean, what was Rob as a podcast? It had some people were listening to it, but it was nothing.
It wasn't like this.
It was nothing. I had nothing going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't my job.
Mm-hmm.
It was my hobby. And, you know, it was fun to do, but it wasn't, you know, anything that I was. But, you know, I was like, OK, so if they call me, maybe I'll go on Survivor in a year or two. Maybe, like, who knows?
How many times did you get the phone call to come back after All-Stars?
After All-Stars, I mean, I think a lot of people get like, hey, are you interested?
What you're, I think you sell yourself short.
And what I say is like, I'm not interested, but don't throw my number away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never want to close the door completely on like, hey, leave me alone. That's it. I'm done.
Get off my lawn.
But but I would say that, you know, that it's not something I'm interested in, you know, at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Maybe, you know, in a couple of years, I'm, you know, in deep in the hole in, you know, I owe the IRS.
Let's not even go there.
You know, but whatever. maybe there's some circumstance. Maybe I need like some sort of life saving operation and I need
the
money.
Don't even go there either.
Okay, whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's not something that's high on my list of things to do.
What about Celebrity Big Brother?
I mean, sure, again, that's like, who would say no to that? I mean, that's like such an easy.
But that's a commitment too.
Sure, but it's 3 weeks.
It's only 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks, and who would like? Why would anybody say no to that?
Oh, I thought it was a whole summer.
No, it's 3 weeks, and it's in the winter, and it's starting in the next month.
Okay, well, that's why I don't host the show.
Yeah. So, look. I love what I get to do.
And I'm
so appreciative that the listeners and the patrons and my wife, that has been such a big supporter of me throughout this, that so many other people's wives or husbands would have been so sane and reasonable to say, what are you doing? Why are we wasting all of this time doing this? Knock it off. Get a real job. You're a grown up. Stop this. This is stupid. And I'm not even joking around.
I feel like more people get mad, more mad than I do about my life.
Who's getting mad about your life?
Let me finish. Like, I go out
mm-hmm.
with the boys. I'm lucky where I'm a nurse. I work part time. I work two nights a week, so I'm able to spend a lot of time with the boys, and we do a lot of things. And I'm usually by myself.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, you work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Why? Who's mad that I'm working?
I think people say things like, oh, Rob working again. Yeah, he's working. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at a bar.
You are not.
I'm not, you know, out somewhere watching football.
Mm-hmm. No, this is our life, and I am totally
cool
with it.
Or at the racetrack. What do people do? What do people, like biking?
I don't know. What are the kids doing these days?
I don't know. I don't know. But,
biking?
I don't know. But I'm, you know, I'm out here working. Sorry. I enjoy what I do. If I had a job that was not fun, everybody would be like, oh, man, that Robbie's what a hardworking guy. Really, that guy really is gives it all for his family. That got so much respect for that guy. But just because I like what I do, everybody's like, oh, where's Rob working again?
Working again. Oh, that guy always working.
Off, working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's working.
And look, you have said many times that you don't like having me around all the time.
The more you like me. I think that we both are, when there's too much time spent together, people bicker.
Yeah. Look, and
absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, look, this wasn't what I was trying to say. I was trying to thank you for all of the support you have given in terms of allowing me the time to develop this podcast over these last going on 9 years. And without you and your support, like it wouldn't have been possible.
Well, I was adding to that, saying yes, because other people don't get it.
Yes. And yeah, well, it sounds like your friends don't get it.
I think people in general.
And that you have been the unsung hero of 2500 podcasts in that.
Not of this podcast, though.
Why? What do you mean?
I think this will prove to people why you are a good host, because I am not.
Well, look, you haven't hosted 2,500 podcasts.
I know. And you are a pro at this. Like, you are just seamless in what you do. Uh-huh. Like, you are meant to be sitting in this chair.
Go on.
I'm really, this chair has made, like, my butt cheek fall asleep.
It happens.
Yeah,
it happens.
It's like really...
See, a lot of people don't...
My left butt cheek is dead asleep.
A lot of people don't think about the, you know, the taxing physical toll.
Yeah, it really hurts.
Okay, but you look, then you could stand up, you can do whatever you want. Okay, so we'll wrap this up. But I just really, I appreciate all that you have done.
I appreciate what your butt has gone through sitting in this chair for so many hours.
How do you think I get it looking like it does?
It is pretty high and tight.
I'm uncomfortable. And so is every other person that's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it's squeezable.
Okay. And thank you to the listeners at 2,500 podcasts. I know that there are a lot of people that have been listening for many years, 5 years, 6 years.
And some people who don't know who I am.
9 years. There are people that don't know who my wife is. But,
and they definitely didn't make it to the end of this podcast.
But I just want to take a moment, because that it was 5 years ago this week that it was the last time that I had a full-time job. And December 6th, 2013, that I got pulled aside by my manager and said basically that my department was going to be downsized, and that was going to be it. And was I a great employee? I was very focused on the podcast. Like, I knew, like, my thought
your
was,
heart was at the podcast.
My heart was with the podcast. That the company that I was working at had been having some difficulties, and there was like basically like a month where the owners of the company were fighting, and then we were working from home, but I was really, you know, working on the podcast mm-hmm. a lot at that time. And I was sort of like, okay, well, like, if I could just stay at this job for another year, maybe I can get the podcast to a point where then I could go full time. And then I was not expecting to be laid off that December 6th, 2013. It was a Friday afternoon. And
we had a new baby.
Dominic was two and a half months old. And I just felt like such a loser, where I was like, I am in my 30s, I have a baby, and I have no job. And I've been fired. And
you weren't fired. You were.
I was the department.
Okay,
yeah,
not fired.
I was laid off.
Yes, I was not fired.
I was laid off, and you know, did not have money coming in anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I called you, and I was like, Nicole, I feel so bad. Like, I got. I'm coming home. I got laid off.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't like, you know, the podcast was making some money, like from, like, we had the Amazon link mm-hmm. and, we had that. And, I forget if there was like other, I had like money on the YouTube channel coming in, but that was,
and we had
that
some
was
savings.
It. Yeah. And Nicole worked. It wasn't like we weren't going to be able to eat, but mm-hmm. it was like, well, what am I going to do here? And so, it was at that point in time that I really said, okay, let me, double down, and I'm going to really just go all in on this at this point. I mean, the podcast had been about, almost 4 years in the making at that time. And I decided to, make a big push. And that was the following month was when I first announced that we were going to do Patreon on the podcast.
And you struggled with that decision.
I did. Because I was like, well, people are going to be mad at me.
You didn't want to go down that because
it was a new thing. And, mm-hmm. and now it's more, you know, out there, and people know what it is. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I get that. But I was very, I was very nervous to ask people for, like, don't kill me, but I was going to start the thing.
We got to live.
And yeah, so that was what I was going to do. And, you know, I can't believe it, because, like, it's, I feel like it's in the blink of an eye. where that's going to be 5 years that mm-hmm. we started on Patreon. And, you know, and really since that point in time where I feel like it was right around that time that we probably did Rob's a Podcast 1000, where I've probably, you know, done in the neighborhood of like 1500 podcasts since then, because people,
I feel like you've done way more than that.
Well, I've done 2,500 total.
Well, it seems more than that.
Well, this doesn't count post-show recaps. Also, yeah. This is Rob as a Podcast episode number 2,500. I don't even know how many posts.
How many podcasts do you do a week?
I mean, probably around like 10 or 12 and stuff like that.
That is a lot of talking. And these are almost 2 hour podcasts sometimes.
And sometimes I'm recording, you know, audiobooks too. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you know,
no one likes to talk more than this guy.
300 hours of the evolution of strategy. And then, you know, between things I've done with the Big Brother blockumentary and stuff like
that. Do you podcast in your sleep? Like, honestly, like, do you have dreams that you're podcasting?
Not really. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had that. I don't have a lot of dreams.
That's not true.
I really don't. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, I close my eyes and then I wake up and it's the next day.
And you're like, in the same position, like a corpse.
I don't have a lot of dreams, but this was my dream, Nicole, that I live my dream, that I don't need to dream when I go to sleep.
Rob, when he was a tiny baby, his mother used to put him in front of the television.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to watch game shows at like, he wasn't even a year old. And he used to watch game shows.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first started talking, your mom says that she had you in the crib and you would wake up knowing what shows you wanted to watch and you would recite the words. Like, those were your first words.
I've always known where I wanted to be. Like,
this is a tiny baby.
Yes. And I've always known where I've wanted to be. And it's here. And people say, well, why don't you go anywhere? Why? Why do I have to go anywhere?
I like my pasty skin.
This is what...
You got to show off that tight butt. Go outside.
To who? For why? Why? For what?
The world needs to see
it. You know, and if somebody said I like it, then what do I do with that?
Then I slap them.
Right. So then now you're getting into more fights. But no, I'm so happy to be able to do what I do. This has been a literal dream come true to be able to make Rob as a Podcast. And I've been so happy, especially where this season of Survivor, people have really liked it for the most part, that the season of Big Brother was exciting, that people like that. And so it's been, you know, exciting to think, you know, maybe this goes on past Survivor 40 into...
Do you think that this season of Survivor and the last season have been so good because of Rob as a Podcast,
no.
Survivor Know It All? I think so. I think that people are like, they're listening to the podcast and they're listening to what people like. They're listening to what people don't like. They're listening at how to play the game and how not to play the game. And it's creating something really exciting that we're watching right now.
Look, I'll leave that for other people to speculate on.
I just speculated.
Yeah. I'll leave that to other people. That's not my place to be, delusions of grandeur, but
mm-hmm.
That it's not even important to me. I love doing this, and I'm so appreciative to all of the people that, you know, allow me to do it just by listening to the podcast and the patrons, of course, who have been, you know, so wonderful for 5 years, and to you who, you know, really could just come up here at any point with a hammer and just end the show.
I've thought about it.
No, yes. and just take out all this equipment. And, you know, any number of things.
No, when that we thought the house was going to go on fire, I was like, make sure you take pictures of all the equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wildfires recently. So I'm so appreciative. I hope people, if anybody is still listening, I hope that people enjoyed if not this episode, then at least, you know, I'm glad you're enjoying the rest of.
Yeah, I'm sorry I suck as a host.
You don't suck. There's so much going on in terms of, you know, everything with Survivor right now. We're going to do a big best of 2018. You know, I just, you know, don't know how many victory laps we need to take with the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll do a big deal, probably next time.
This is a big deal though, right?
Yeah, but this, but you know, but we just stopped at 2,000. Uh-huh. We're here at 2,500. We just wanted to like check off the mile check marker. In. Big thanks to Megan Z, who asked us recently to how many episodes we were up to. But just wanted to, you know, commemorate the mile marker here at 2,500. Probably the next big thing we'll do will be at the 10 years of Rob as a Podcast coming up in 2020, which will be February.
In Florida.
Who knows? But and you know, maybe we'll do, you know, a full on best of, you know, best 10 year best of.
That's going to take some major editing.
Sure. But that's, you know, it's over a year away. Year and change away. Really, that this decade has been.
You said 10 years.
Okay, in 2020, it will be 10 years of Rob as a Podcast. Which started in 2010.
Okay. You were just talking about 5 years for so long.
Okay. Well, hopefully.
I'm just confused.
Yeah. This decade has really been the decade of Rob as a Podcast. So maybe we do like a best of the decade commemorative. Okay. All right. I'm rambling at this point.
Okay. Nicole, it's my show.
All right. Sorry.
Shut up.
Sorry. Ooh.
Thank you to Rob for all of the hard work that you've done. You are appreciated. We see you. We hear you. We love you.
Do we have a hashtag for this episode?
This is my show. Shut up. Do we have a hashtag for the show? What do you got?
What did we talk about?
Sleeping butt cheeks.
Sleeping butt cheeks. Please no.
Please yes.
Please not. Please not that. How about just hashtag RHAP2500?
Boring.
Oh,
this is my show.
Okay, fine. Then what do you want it to be?
Sleeping butt cheek.
All right. There you go. There you have it.
My show.
Okay. So now what? Now what are we doing with your show?
So now we got some good shows coming up at the end of the week.
Yeah, what's coming up this week, Nicole?
We have what day is today? Sunday. We got some Survivor stuff. We got more Survivor stuff.
Purple stuff.
We got some good stuff and Survivor know-it-alls.
Is this like an impression of me?
No, this is just what I'm saying.
You're just vamping.
We have a great bonus show coming up at the end of the week where I will be making an appearance, maybe some other surprises, possibly. Rob is making faces at me.
Well, you're not really, you didn't say what any of the regular shows were. You're just talking about the bonus shows.
I said we got some Survivor stuff coming up with some more.
Can I say what it is? Or
you can, when I'm done.
Okay.
And I am done.
Tyson is going to be on the recap this week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you kept such a close tabs on the calendar. And then this week on the feedback show, we'll talk to the Purple Pants badass, Mr. Bryce Isaiah.
I didn't know he was coming back either.
One of the most highly anticipated podcasts of the year.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, as per usual.
How does your butt cheek function?
I shift my body weight.
I'm really trying to do that, but
I'm like Christian in a 5.5 hour endurance challenge every single day.
Why do you think he
talks so much? It's that it distracts
you're
you
sitting
from
really inappropriately right now.
Why? What's going on?
Because you're spread eagle.
I don't know if spread eagle is
you kind of were
is the right term. There's a table that's like in front of me in the guest chair. I've never sat in this chair before.
Okay, but it's making me uncomfortable. No, it must be hard when you do have a guest because I'm trying to face you. Mm-hmm. So I like my weight is shifted to the one side to have like a conversation.
Yeah,
and then I shift to the other side. I feel like it's not like a natural flow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you.
Hashtag butt cheek problems.
Okay. We have a lot of podcasts coming up. You were saying you were plugging what's coming up next.
Yes. So stay tuned. We got some good stuff for your commutes to work. Show Rob some love.
How?
He deserves it on Twitter.
Okay.
On the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Give him some tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Tweets, tweets, and more tweets.
Yeah.
But be nice. Only send the nice ones. Send the bad ones to Pineapple Boy, right?
27.
Mm-hmm. Send it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it.
Okay.
And we're out.